Let's get to our interview now with Crystal Horvath. She's the executive director of Bonner Community Housing Agency, and John Dibble, a board member of that agency, a nonprofit in our community that's looking at the housing situation. I don't want to call it a crisis, but it is an important part of what builds a community and makes it viable. So either one of you can answer any of these questions. You gave me a great outline. I really appreciate that. And let's just, you know, it's always good to know what an organization, especially a nonprofit in our community doing great work, has as a mission statement. Either one of you can talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, we decided to kind of look at our mission statement about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and what we ended up kind of recreating using our original mission statement and then kind of wanting to add to it was that our mission is to produce creative solutions, develop quality, affordable housing, and assist those making the average median income and below to fulfill their housing needs and goals.
So that leads you into what you do.
Correct.
Can you repeat that? Because it's
absolutely
specific.
It is specific. So it's to produce creative solutions, develop quality, affordable housing, and assist those making the average median income and below to fulfill their housing needs and goals. We wanted it to kind of be somewhat vague because people's goals are individual. Some people just need something more secure or more affordable. Some people want to buy. And there's a lot of different needs depending on the specific family's situation.
So part of a mission would be to identify the folks that are in this category.
Yes.
Moving here for jobs, moving here for family, or for a life choice,
mm-hmm.
have a challenge if they're in a certain financial bracket, we'll call it.
Correct.
And so part of it is identifying the need.
Correct.
Well, and some of the people that are coming here, as well as some of the locals, a lot of the locals, the housing has reached a point for many of them that they can't really afford it. You know, the job income that they have here doesn't qualify because, like, the average median price of housing has been floating right around $600,000 in Bonner County. And it's been about the same in Coeur d'Alene, just a little bit less.
And how long has that been kind of the norm?
Shortly after COVID, things went crazy.
Okay. Do we have an idea of why that changed, because that wasn't always the case?
I'm not sure why it happened, but right after COVID, they got finished with the paper issues and they went to real estate. I don't know. We had an influx of a lot of people come from big cities, from the south, from the west, from the east.
So,
and they had a different income bracket that they came here. They were used to having more money. Their real estate was worth more because, you know, whatever, the supply-demand. But when they got here, it became like, well, I want that. And they jumped over each other to get that.
What is it that they wanted? To move here
and
to own a home?
They wanted
both.
And they wanted to have what they wanted to get their space, and they wanted it quick.
So if they had the means, leaving some other place, I'm not going to identify where, but they had the means, they could sell a house somewhere else and move here and afford a $600,000 regular house.
And cash became the king.
Okay, that's an important way of saying it. Let's back up just a minute. And how did Bonner Community Housing Agency come into being? It was way before this crisis this current situation that we're facing for affordable housing for medium income people, families, individuals. When did it all start that this agency was needed?
It started around 2007. It was probably needed before that, but and I'm not sure the real accurate history. I came on around 2017, late or early 18, and prior to me, Kurt Hagen and some other people on the board. But Chris Bassett, I'm not sure if he was one of the key instruments in that starting at that time or not, but I really don't know the history that far back. I do know that they were a lot more successful at achieving their goals of getting three to four families into a new home or a remodeled home, completely remodeled. And then after COVID, it was almost unaffordable. We couldn't afford to buy a lot. put in the hookups, the foundation, and then turn around and sell it for what we were allowed through our federal grants and funds, was the max was $285,000 to put a family in. And our lots were starting to cost us $150,000 to $200,000.
So you really couldn't put a house on there with, and you mentioned mm-hmm. the fees and application fees and infrastructure fees.
Correct.
Did those go up also?
Everything went up. And the families, unfortunately, they were stuck where they were. You know, income, pay did not go up with that. And it caused us to have to completely restructure. You know, Bonner Community Housing Agency suddenly was, you know, we didn't have the funds to really do what we needed to do, because what they were allowing us would barely get us into the house, and then there was nothing left to keep BCHA going.
So BCHA, Bonner Community Housing Agency, what we're talking about and where you're from, was given the mission, so to speak, to help families get into these houses, and you were constricted to the $285,000 helping?
Correct. And when
how did that work?
It didn't now. It doesn't now. And it hasn't for, you know, since probably a year after COVID, we just couldn't do it anymore. We struggled. And instead of dissolving the Bonner Community Housing Agency as an entity, we started making some, I want to say, evolutionary changes that weren't norm. We hired a different director that came and helped us to get things started. And then just after that, we hired Crystal to become our new executive director. And since then, it's been like lightning.
It makes a difference.
It made a huge difference to have somebody in there that was not afraid, wasn't used to the way it used to be done, and was innovative enough to start reaching out for other types of financing and assistance.
So, Crystal, you came on board, and what was your learning curve like?
Oh, it was a huge learning curve. I started as a project manager because I'm pretty organized myself, and so a friend of mine who's on the board came to me and said, hey, we have an opening, and I think you'd be really great at it, and you'd be able to work with, you know, the current players and all of those things. So I jumped right in and started learning this whole new field that I really haven't been involved in prior to coming on with the agency.
And working with federal agencies too.
Yes.
And it says in your outline that the 285 has changed recently.
It has. I want to say about 3 years ago, the state reassessed those numbers, and I believe it's up around 500,000 now. So they made a pretty significant difference in how much we can sell a property for. The 285 was because if you have federal funds and you're doing affordable housing, they would limit the maximum you could sell that property for. So if we are trying to also sustain our agency, we have to do it for considerably less than whatever that maximum is and have it still be affordable for a family who isn't making $50 an hour. They might be making 20 if they're lucky.
If they're lucky. And so two people working in a home that's maybe 40, it's mm-hmm. still not enough.
It's not. With the interest rates and all of those things, it's still significantly higher than what most people can afford.
Right. And there's a matrix financial process to figure all that out. And people are just outpriced. And that's where you guys come in.
Correct.
To try to work on that and create projects that might meet that need.
We do. Yeah. And we picked up a loan program. So that was one of the ways we do that.
We'll describe that.
It's a USDA loan. It's intended for low-income families. And so you cannot get it at a bank. You have to go to the USDA or a packager directly. We're one of two packagers in the state. And we can actually package loans nationwide. We generally stay closer to our area since that's really our mission. But technically we can. So it's a USDA loan. It's called a 502 loan. It's a zero down program. It's running several points below market on the interest rates. And then it can go up to a 38-year term depending on the needs of the family.
And one or two points of interest really make a difference.
It is a significant difference.
Because your monthly payments then are in the range of affordable.
Yes.
Okay, so just to make sure everyone understands that Bonner Community Housing Agency does not profit from any of the work you do.
No.
No.
So how is it funded?
Well, depending on the program, so on the loans, there's a packaging fee that is incorporated into the loan itself. So that gives us a little bit of income. The homes that we build, if we're using federal funds, there's a developer fee built into those loans or those programs.
BCHA becomes the developer?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so for the IHFA requirements, we are allowed up to a 15% developer fee. And so that's part of how we continue to sustain.
Do you do fundraising in the community?
We do.
Yes.
And what does that look like? Board member would know. Board's job is to bring in the funds, so.
Yeah. No, it's we have lots of different ways of going about it. We've had the tree event.
Fundraising stuff.
Yeah, fundraising things. And then Crystal has been able to secure some help from some of our, we just got all the lumber donated for our house that we're going to be building on Jasper Loop. She can elaborate on that.
Yeah. So let's look at all the different ways, and then we can talk about Jasper Loop.
Yeah, so we have had different groups volunteer, essentially, to do a bingo for us.
Yeah.
And so we got all the profits from the bingo, which was a fun event. We are looking at labels that we can have potentially on beers at Matchwood as a potential fundraiser. We've had several different businesses donate items to the Festival of Trees, and then we get a portion of the sales of our tree from the Festival of Trees. We haven't done much fundraising prior to me starting, so we are still putting feelers out there for different fundraising opportunities that are within our capacity, because we are a relatively small agency, and the time available and the manpower available is limited. So,
what are some, I mean, besides your staffing salary, what are some of the other costs? Do you have a storefront, office, stuff like that?
We do. We have an office space, and so there's all the normal utilities. Ziply donates our internet, so that's nice. But we also have, you know, heating and power and our office rent and our phone and all the normal things that we have to make sure and have the money for.
So you have a budget, and the board manages that, and with your help. And okay, so you're moving along. You've seen a bigger need because of the change after the pandemic.
Huge need.
Huge. How do the realtors in our community respond to supporting what you're doing? Because it must be frustrating for them also to have a client come in. This is what we can afford, and there's nothing to offer except maybe, I don't know, something old.
We've offered commissions to realtors to bring clients to us, like on Culver's Crossing.
Yeah, let's talk about Culver's Crossing. It's on your list here. Workforce housing.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. I don't know anything about it.
Well, generally you have the low-income housing and medium-income housing. Workforce housing is just a little bit above. So it's not low-income, but it's not market rate.
Okay.
So for that project, we got a specific grant that had very specific requirements. And so the rents can be below market, but above low-income. And there's a formula, and the property owner has a property management company that does all the paperwork for that to keep it in alignment with what the grant requires.
So what is it and where is it? It's an apartment building?
No, there's six units. There's two triplexes.
Okay.
And they're over off of Ebbett Way, over by the airport.
Okay.
It's that new development as you turn off Boyer onto Ebbett right there on
the
north.
Is it completed?
Those six units are completed and almost filled. The rest of the lots are still in development, in different stages of development.
And just to be clear, that development, Culver's Crossing, is on the west side of Boyer, going towards the airport.
Yes.
Right. I think I've seen it back behind there, a little back behind UPS a little bit.
Right as you cross the tracks on the left, yeah. You don't want to get it confused with all the other developing going on out there.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
So that is a workforce housing project.
Just those six units.
Six units.
The rest of them are not. The initial idea was a really wonderful idea by the landowner, and because costs went up so much and fees went up, we weren't able to do all of it as affordable. So ultimately, we were able to get a grant for these six units and keep those six affordable.
So when you say you can get, you got a grant, what did the grant cover and where did you get it from?
It was an IHFA grant, Idaho Housing grant, ARPA grant. So it was the American Rescue Plan funds. And it was specifically for those six units to build them.
And how does someone get connected to you for, if they're, you said they're not all full?
There's one still vacant yesterday, and they have a couple people on the list that are looking at that one. So it might be filled today. It could be finished today. But they can email me, and we can get them on the list if they're interested. The easiest email would be our info@bonnerhousing.org.
So that's info@bonnerhousing.org.
Correct.
Okay. And then you can see if you qualify.
Yes.
So there must be an application and process, and
yes,
and you manage that.
I do. I help with that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a you know, I just, people have been coming out and trying to help us. You know, to go back to the realtor thing, we've had realtors, you know, come to us and try to help us put together. I can't. I'm in real estate, but I'm on the board, so I can't get involved. But we've had other realtors that have gotten involved on the outside. They do get commissioned. Oh. And the property we buy, we pay commission if there's a realtor involved, and there usually is. And we also have people that, you know, have properties already listed, and they may come to us and want us to work with them or may want to help us, let's put it that way.
So the real goal is to keep it affordable.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're still working within the market process, mm-hmm, and with realtors, with everything, but because you can get outside funding and possibly lower interest rates slightly, that makes it more affordable.
Yes. Well, and every little bit helps. So we bought a piece of property to build a 3-bedroom home for a family, and the landowner reduced the price by about $20,000 for us.
And that makes a huge difference.
It does. And that just transfers over to the end buyer, where it's going to be $20,000 less than what it would have been.
So yeah, when people qualify for these homes, say the one that you just mentioned, the Culver's Way?
Culver's Crossing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they then own these homes?
Not the Culver's Crossing. Those ones are rentals.
Oh, because they're triplexes.
Correct. But the other ones that we're working on, the six units in Priest River, they will own those,
okay,
at the end of it. The one that we bought in Ponderay, the family will own that home.
Okay.
And part of helping that cost down, keep the cost down, has been outside sources that Crystal has solicited and done well with. We even had a little help from Sean Keogh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Riley Creek Lumber, they have put together a package, and I'll let Crystal detail that a little bit more. But that's what we're looking for. We need more of that. And what we've gotten, we're very appreciative for.
I see why you call it community. Bonner Community Housing Agency. It's a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a county thing. It's not a government thing. It's a group effort. And when you bring in a landowner or a lumber company or whatever, creative solutions, you could also put in your byline to make this meet your mission.
Absolutely. We probably wouldn't be able to build this home in Ponderay without the help we've already gotten. We have a bank who gave us a grant to go to the cost. We have the lumber mill, who Idaho Forest Group, who's donating all the lumber they produce at the Riley Creek Mill that we need to build the home we have plans for. We have a contractor, Dom Construction, who they are giving us a set price, and it's significantly lower than most of the other contractors I've talked to try and build relationships with for affordable housing. We have another, Idaho Housing and Finance. We've got a loan from them at a very low interest rate to be able to build this home as well. So we are constantly looking for other people in our community that are able to help in some way, whether it's a landscaper who will donate some work or at a reduced price, or ultimately we've just found out on this property in Ponderay that we have to do landscaping. So a hydro seed company that maybe can give it to us at cost, or an appliance. We have an appliance company who's willing to give us a 10% discount on appliances. You know, so creating all these relationships, because it is a community problem. This is not something one agency is going to be able to solve. We have over 300 families on our list.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
The need is not a joke.
No.
It's evident, and it's probably not going to go away.
No, and there's so many people on our list we can't help because their income is so low that we don't have a way to help them.
Yeah.
So what is the solution for them?
I try my best to give them resources with Idaho Housing is some of them, the Section 8 rentals, financial. We have some access to financial classes through the grant we got from Washington Federal. There's a website we have access to where they can use that to have some financial classes if possible. But a lot of them can't do that because a lot of those are our Social Security recipients.
So for them, it's not a matter of maybe buying a house. It's a matter of being able to afford rent.
Yes.
It's all of that.
Mm-hmm. So part of that.
When you think that the median prices, list prices, $600,000 and plus, and you know, you're looking at a loan, if you get that down to $450,000, you're looking at over $3,000 a month if you don't have a large down payment. Say you only have 20%. A lot of them, we can get them into the house, but then they don't want to try to make those kind of payments.
Or they're not able to.
You're
saying $3,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that can pay that. Yeah. When you step back and look at it, that's a lot of money per month.
So.
Just on the mortgage.
Right. You're meeting that place where some of our larger businesses and want to bring in people that might be able to meet that, but there's a huge amount of people that have not that kind of income.
Yes.
So it becomes, there's where the partnerships come in, because the businesses need housing for the people they want to bring in to work in their companies.
Oh, absolutely.
So how is that partnership?
That is a slower partnership. We do have some businesses that will donate, but creating some kind of partnership that helps actually build the homes, because donations are great, but we have to be able to build the homes. So we're in the process of working on that. That's part of our partnership between Kinnexu Land Trust and LEAP out of Boise. The three of us have partnered to work on these projects and bring more to the area, because that's one of the things that I've discovered in the last 2 years as the executive director is we can do exponentially more together than we can do separately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. What is LEAP?
LEAP Housing is very similar to us. They've been doing it, from what I gather, a little bit less time, but super effectively and efficiently out of Boise. Now, their CEO, Bart Cochran, is from here. I went to high school with him, and by some amazing set of coincidence, he went to college with Katie from Kinnexu Land Trust. So we sort of all kind of naturally started kind of coming together and sort of around the same time started talking about partnerships. And so it's kind of naturally developed. And I'm really excited. Bart and his team are an amazing resource for how to develop and finding properties and projects. They have sustainable models that they have repeated. Katie is an incredible resource in the community as well, with connections and donors and finding land and all of these opportunities.
More creative solutions.
Yes.
So Bart Down is in Boise.
Correct.
LEAP.
Mm-hmm.
Does he reach in any partner as far as information, ideas, grants,
yes,
fundraising efforts, stuff like that?
He does. Right now it's on a, I would say, somewhat limited because we're still in the beginning stages of creating this partnership, and we've just started with those six lots in Priest River. But that's the... We have regular meetings, sometimes weekly, sometimes less, about that project and about what's next. And we're looking for the next project that'll hopefully be similar to the land trust project in Priest River. But we want to do one hopefully on this side of the county. We have to find the land. The land has to fit a certain price point for it to be doable.
So there are people out there that have huge parcels of land.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to give... 10 acres, we'll say, out of their 150 acres in an appropriate place,
mm-hmm,
for travel and getting to work and stuff like that, they would get a tax write-off.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, we're a nonprofit.
Benefit? Yeah, what's the benefit? Are they giving to you, to the nonprofit, the Bonner Community Housing Agency, or are they, yeah, how does that work?
They would give it to us initially, or, I mean, the one in Priest River is, I believe,
dedicated donation for a specific.
Yes. And we did purchase lots as well. So sometimes it's a full donation. Sometimes it's a significantly reduced donation, and we can give a tax deductible receipt where they get to take that difference as a tax deduction.
There's a lot of facets to this subject. Just want to remind our listeners, I'm speaking, this is the morning show. I'm Susie Prez. I'm speaking with the executive director of the Bonner Community Housing Agency and Crystal Horvath, and board member of the same agency, John Dibble. And we're talking about the housing situation here in our community for people moving in, how it's changed over the years. This agency has been around. Its mission statement is clear. It's a nonprofit, and it's really working to make it possible. When you mentioned Boise, I think, is it the same situation down there as it is up here?
Yes.
They have a similar demographic picture.
They do, and that was one of the beautiful things with LEAP is they've experienced this and they have built several different projects down there. I don't know how many homes, but we have a goal up here in our three-way partnership of 100 homes in 5 years.
Okay, that's a good goal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's really kind of the benchmark we've set between the three of us. And the program that we're trying to repeat is a affordable home in perpetuity. If the land is owned by a nonprofit, and then there's, you know, some restrictions on resale, but it still allows the family at some point to resell with a profit so that they can get into their next home, but keep it affordable for the family that's going to buy it.
Okay. Anything to say about that, John?
No.
No.
She did thorough.
Okay. So thinking about this a little bit more, do you see, John, you're in the real estate understanding of the market, that this is going to get better, not worse?
What do you mean that?
What do I mean by that is that prices will come down.
I can say this. This past year, we might have a lot of houses or no houses come on a, you know, new on a day. But when they did come on, usually about, we might have four in Bonner County. It's getting better now. The rest were Coeur d'Alene, Hauser, you know, Rattram. And then they would be outnumbered anywhere from 10 to 25% on price reductions. So some people who may have gotten in or, you know, too deep, or they felt their home was worth what it was 2 years ago, were trying to price it that way, you know, but nobody's coming to the table, so they start lowering the price. And some people are upside down because of what they paid 2 and 3 years ago, and now they're trying to get out from under that.
Well, when housing prices go up, taxes go up too. So the new owner, if they get into affordable housing through your agency, they're responsible for the taxes and insurance and everything that's built into the mortgage payment.
Correct. We do try to help them reduce those as much as possible so they can get the homeowner's exemption, things along those lines to help reduce some of that. And that's part of the benefit of the USDA loan. If we can build the home and package the loan, they're going to get kind of these, what I like to call wraparound services, and get the best possible product that can be presented to them. And so that's my goal. If we are able to do it without federal funding, it makes it infinitely easier, which is where the donors and the partnerships come in. The federal funding creates a lot of hurdles and can make it very challenging.
Well, I can only imagine. It's
To go back to that question you asked about the pricing, too, the pricing is currently resetting and has been for a year now, and it's continuing to do so, but it'll never go back to where it was. We've reached a plateau last year that will never go back down to where it was 3 and 4 years ago. That's gone. And that's another reason why we really have to have success at what we're doing. Kinnickzu Land Trust needs to have success. LEAP needs success. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of people left on the turf. And there's a great number of people right now that are homeless.
Homeless?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bridgerview project over in, Bozeman area. that project started kind of like, and Kinnexu Land Trust picked up on some of what they started doing several years ago. But the last few times I've been through, there's campers parked on the outskirts, and they have no home. They actually live on these side roads.
So they go to work every day,
out of
come
these,
back to their camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a real need for this now, and there's going to be a greater need going into the future. Even though prices are resetting, unless income levels start to come up and, you know, some other miracles occur, it's going to continue to, you know, put a demand for need, and we're trying to help meet that need with and unifying, or, you know, uniting with other agencies to try and make that happen.
And as you say, a few years ago, a lot of people moved in. It's probably not stopped. People are still moving in.
They are.
And I'm just reading one of the things you sent over. Just to reiterate, this is a community issue, not an individual issue. Mm-hmm. I think that's important, because to thrive as a community, these are your words, we need our workforce. We need homes for children and families. To have a solid workforce, they need affordable housing. It's not just families and children. What about older people that might be moving in that fall into your financial category but would like to own a home, maybe a couple? Is there criteria that it has to be a workforce family?
It depends on the program.
Okay.
If it's a workforce housing program, then yes. That's a very specific program, and it's only those six units currently that are workforce housing.
And Priest River.
These are the ones on Culver's Crossing.
Okay.
In Culver's Crossing. The Priest River ones are intended for the west side of the county. So we do have it restricted based on either where you live or where you work, because we want to help that side of the county as well. And unfortunately, as any local knows, there is quite a divide between the Sandpoint side and the west side of the county. And we want to make sure and help everybody. So it just varies on the program. Most of what we do is not restricted by age or any of those things. If we can get somebody qualified, if they have the income to qualify, then they can qualify. That's the biggest really deciding factor. And again, that's where the loans come in. With the seniors, it's not so much seniors moving into the area. It's seniors that already live here and are being priced out.
Because of taxes?
No, mostly because rents are going up.
Oh, they're rentals.
Yeah.
They're renters.
Yeah. Most of the seniors on our list, their rents are going up and they are getting priced out of their rentals.
So rent is high too.
Yes.
Well, yeah. The average has been holding right around $4,000 on, you know, up or down. Yeah. I mean, there's lower, but
sure,
there's higher. And that's just the median.
I want to know, this is an off question. You don't have any time constraints. Do you have to go somewhere?
No.
I was going to play a song, and we'll regroup for a minute and kind of finish the interview. And it's a short song. It's 3 minutes. It's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young called Our House. You okay with that? Does
yeah.
That sound
yeah,
good?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. And we'll be right back, folks. This is 88.5 KRFY. This is your community radio station. And this is an important subject. We're speaking with Crystal Horvath. She's executive director of Bonner Community Housing Agency, and board member John Dibble. We're speaking about a very important issue here in our community. And that was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House. Well, it's actually Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Well, there you go. And we're here live in the KRFY studios. This is the morning show. I'm Susie Prez, and we're talking with Crystal Horvath and John Dibble from the Bonner Community Housing Agency. And we're talking about something that's very important, not just for the people that are looking for housing, but for our community. And during the song break, we're talking about some of the important points that you wanted to make, and Crystal, about how this really is a community project and some of the challenges. And then we'll talk about some of your partnerships and successes.
Yeah,
again,
absolutely.
We can be redundant here.
One of the things I discovered when I became the executive director about 2 years ago is the lack of partnerships. And we were kind of trying to do things on our own as an agency, and it just wasn't working. And so we started really going to meetings, going to community meetings, The Envision Center started an executive director meeting that I started going to consistently. And it was really an amazing resource, and still is. I still go almost every month to create connection with the other nonprofits. And some of those connections were just kind of there to support each other and go to events. And some of them were sitting down with other executive directors and writing a grant because they had experience in that grant. And it's just been an invaluable resource. And through all of that, part of what I've really come to believe is, again, like we said earlier, is this is a community problem, and it's not unsolvable. It is a solvable problem, but we really need to work together. If we want our area to flourish, and I've lived here 35, almost 40 years, and I've watched this change. I remember being able to afford a house when I was a police officer, and my salary, my income at that point was, you know, $40,000 a year approximately. And I could buy a house. And now the banks won't even talk to you. If you don't make $50,000 or more, I called a few years ago to look at buying a home before I was in this position. And because I didn't make more than $50,000, they wouldn't even consider a loan. And that's just not... that's not really what, at least for me, what I want for our community. I want our families to be safe and secure, and I want all of our families to be safe and secure, not just the people that are making $100,000 a year, but we need all of our workforce. We need our gas station attendants. We need our police officers and our teachers and our nurses. We need the people that deliver the mail and the people that are serving you at the restaurant. If we don't have them, what is our community then?
That's a very good question. It sounds like a huge project, but at least there's some movement forward.
There is.
In a certain area. I think about the vertical housing, I call it, large apartment complexes out behind Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helping? What are those medium rents? Can someone afford that? Or is it or does this area become a profit margin?
That's a tough question. Schweitzer, you know, they solved their own problem by building the condos, their apartments they have out there off of Triangle.
We'll talk about that for just a minute, because that is a solution also.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a house for family or whatever, but...
Multifamily.
And so it's affordable housing for someone who works at Schweitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk just a minute. We've kind of alluded to a lot of this, but some of your successes, current projects, and partnerships.
Yeah, I'm excited. We have several things going on. As we talked about the 6 units in Priest River, and so those are land trust units. So those will ideally be significantly under 300. We're shooting for 260,000 as the price point. We still have some things we're working out, so there's a range,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10...
So if you have a $260,000 home value and you're going in through the land trust, that's a certain way of looking at it. The land is owned in trust, mm-hmm. and the house becomes your kind of leased property, leased but owned.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting solution.
Yes.
And your down payment was, say, $50,000, which is a lot. But you sold the house somewhere else and you had a down payment. What would your monthly, I know, where's your calculator, but typically about estimate?
You know, it's really going to depend on the loan product the family qualifies for.
Okay.
You know, if you qualify for FHA, those are different terms than if you qualify for VA, or if you don't qualify for any of those and you have to go with market loans. So it's really
variable.
Going to vary. I know we've got a whole group of lenders on that particular project that we have worked with and made sure they are familiar with the terms of this project and how land trusts work. We have a whole group of realtors we've given all this information to and worked with. And then it's a lottery system. So the families interested have to go meet the qualifications, go get pre-qualified. And they can get pre-qualified on any loan product with any lender they want. We've just included the ones we've educated on this particular project in the email to those families. And then they're entered into a lottery. So we're actually hoping to do the lottery in March, I believe, and then we'll know who those homeowners will. And they'll own the home. They lease the land very cheaply. And then if, you know, anything ever were to arise, there are precautions in the contract that allow the homeowners.
Parameters.
Yeah.
For selling or whatever.
Exactly.
Getting your resources back.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one project that mm-hmm. you have. We have the Jasper Loop.
Yes, we closed on a lot in Ponderay on Jasper Loop, and plan to build a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. The goal is for less than $350,000, and it might be significantly lower. There's some subsidies. We are not exactly sure how much they'll be yet. So once we have those numbers, ideally it will be significantly lower. Even $350,000 is a really hard stretch for most families making the average income up here. So really that $260,000 to $300,000 mark is a much more comfortable line for those families. So that's really the goal. But that one should be done by the end of this summer. We're hoping for a September move-in date for the family. Assuming the family qualifies for everything, we've pre-selected a teacher, single-parent teacher in the community that needs some help.
Yay for the teachers.
Yeah, we're really excited about that one. So we're also hoping to do some community events on that project, like a community cleanup day.
Yeah,
and to come out and clean up the site after, you know, they've done a stage of construction. Save us some money, otherwise we have to pay people to do it, but also create some community involvement and connection.
Awareness, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So besides all of that, you're partnering with Kinnexu Land Trust. We've had Katie in here, the executive director over mm-hmm. there, talking about that, and LEAP is another partner. So
yes.
Getting advice and how to go. You have a big job, Crystal.
I do.
And the board has a big job, too.
Yes.
She's doing great.
Yeah, I can hear that. So what do you need from our community? You've gotten a little bit of PR here on KRFY Morning Show, but what do you need?
You know, honestly, we need donors. We need mm-hmm. people who care about the community, and not just about the community, but about the future of our community. Again, we need all these people here for our community to thrive and be successful. If we don't have gas station attendance, again, then what happens to our area? And all of our arts, and I mean, we have this really incredible place that we live.
And the lake.
Yes.
The ski hill.
Right.
Yeah, you won't be able to go out and eat if you don't have anybody there to wait on you.
We have a paradise here.
We do.
We want it to thrive.
We do. So what I've kind of come up with recently is this concept of what can you give? How can you help? If you're a contractor, can you help on one affordable project a year? If you're a plumber or an electrician or you do HVAC or a concrete worker or landscaping or any of these things, right? Like I said, we have an appliance company who gives us a discount. Like, in what way, on some, no matter how small measure or big measure, how can you help? If you are a landowner and you're going to sell, can you, you know, section off one lot for an affordable unit?
What is the response you're getting from some of this outreach and hope?
You know, it's slow, mm-hmm. but I would say 2 years ago, the response was not very good. I was met with a lot of resistance of, oh, that's not my wheelhouse. That's not my area, which really, again, didn't make a lot of sense to me because they're all locals. They live here too. Why wouldn't you give back to your community in some way?
And that's why, you know, we came here today. We're trying to expose what we're doing, expose the people that are contributing to help us and ask for more help so that we can help people, you know, as a community.
And once again, why does that matter?
There's a lot of reasons it matters. One of the things I learned about 2 years ago was the statistic of children who go on to further education. If their family owns their home, if they have housing stability, it's like 80%. It is so high that these kids actually believe they can do something more with themselves and with their lives. For kids and families that don't own their own home, there's so much insecurity and safety concerns on a subconscious level that they don't even realize they can shift their life. They can make a different decision. I mean, it's the same story for me. I didn't know at 18 that I could go to college. So I joined the military, which was a wonderful decision for me because I didn't want to just be stuck in a dead-end job in Sandpoint at 18 years old with no idea what I wanted my life to look like.
So the statistics show that owning a home and growing up in a home mm-hmm. that is owned by a family, it's something about putting down roots
yeah.
that feels stable, secure, and then from that platform of security, you can say, I can do more.
Absolutely.
And be part of a community, mm-hmm. whether you leave and go to college and don't come back, or in your case, you came back. So it's worth the effort.
Absolutely.
For our community to participate, whether it be one single teacher, single family, single parent teacher, or a group of people in Priest River, it makes a difference. And your goal of 100 homes in, what was it?
Five years.
Mm-hmm. Is a big goal, but the momentum is gathering.
It is, absolutely. We've created partnerships with every nonprofit housing agency in our area, from Habitat to Humanity, from Good Samaritan Inn to Bonner Homeless Transitions to even PISNY. And all of those partnerships are fruitful in some way or another, whether it's a connection or a contact or potential land. Kinderhaven's another one that we have created some really close partnerships with as well. And so every time we create something, there's this another piece to this puzzle that we're trying to build.
And the successes that we have, especially with other, you know, community donors or whatever, the more it invites more people to get involved. And that's another reason why we came here today, to ask people, if you're interested, give Crystal a call.
Yeah.
And how do they do that? Oh, I just want to say, most agencies like yours or nonprofits have great websites. So we need the website, how to get a hold of you, how to become partners with this project.
Absolutely. Our website is bonnerhousing.org. It's pretty simple. The easiest email is info@bonnerhousing.org. I could give you mine, but my name is spelled weird. So it would be a little challenging. But email is the best way for me, just because I'm very consistent at responding to those emails.
And that's info@bonnerhousing.org. .org. It's
yes.
A nonprofit.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say before we kind of turn
thank
it
you
over?
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this is great exposure for us as a community, you know, group. And I think this will probably get a lot of people, their awareness has gone up a little bit because of you.
I think it's important, and that's why KRFY is here. We are community also. Mm-hmm. It's in our name, too.
Yep.
And, yeah, come back anytime. Just give us a call. Call my co-host, Chris Bessler, and we'll find a spot for you when things come up. We want to stay on this subject and celebrate your, it could be a 10-minute interview, celebrate your successes and help broadcast your needs.
Wonderful.
So thank you very much, Crystal Horvath, Executive Director, and John Dibble, Board Member of the Bonner Community Housing Agency, for enlightening us and helping us strengthen our community in this way. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.